The following segment is a paid commercial program by Christy Joe Block, Edina Realty. It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 KWLM.
Well, obviously, this is not Christy Joe Block. This is Joel Gratz from Christensen PLLP, a CPA and partner there. Maybe I'm going out on a limb here, Joel, but I would say a friend of mine as well. I appreciate that, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, you bet, Todd. No worries, and definitely call me a friend because I call you a friend, Todd.
All right, very good. Hey, so there's so much going on with government monies, the Paycheck Protection Program, and other things. Just give us an update on various government business stimulus programs that maybe people aren't aware of, or if they are, maybe aren't quite sure how to go about getting some of that if they qualify.
Yeah, you know, good. It's a hot topic, you know, on probably every newscast every day, and things are changing basically daily. They kind of change the rules on us, and this whole thing started, obviously, probably right in the middle of the COVID, you know, situation, and wanting to get money out to businesses to keep the economy going, stimulate the economy, and to keep people working. And back to late March, early April, they came up with this Paycheck Protection Program. And there was, if you recall, Todd, this mad rush, you know, of trying to get the form, trying to get everything, you know, applied for, working with your local banks to get it funded, because everybody was worried the money's going to run out, you know. And you heard the news stories where, you know, it's capped at this $10 million number, and many of these public companies, you know, were grabbing this $10 million, and that well went dry in about 10 days. You know, and that really freaked everybody out. And as soon as some of the participants who joined in and got this money in the front end were being released, it started raising a lot of questions, you know, right? You know, the public eye and legislators were wondering, well, is this really where the money should go? You know, technically, do they have access to capital? And when you were applying for this, there's a what they call a good faith certification on this application where you sign off and you say, yes, COVID has impacted me dramatically. I'm really nervous about my, you know, next 8 weeks or even longer. And what kind of things do I have to do? And so there was a lot of questions you had to sign off on, say yes to. And the first round of application was, we don't know the rules really, but if you want money, get in there really fast. And that's what happened. And boom, you know, several billion dollars went out the door, gone. And then here we sit where maybe a lot of small businesses didn't get the money because maybe they don't have the resources to kind of get up and going. So then there was a week or two, you know, layoff, if you will, before the government funded it again. Okay, so now we're in the middle of this second funding phase for this PPP program. So I'm pleased to say, as we sit today, Todd, there is still money available, and I still have clients who are applying today to get these monies. And it's based upon a couple things. One, if you have employees, there's a factor based upon your payroll. They take your average payroll, divide, you know, for a month, divided by 12 times 2.5. And this is the start of what your loan amount could be. If you're self-employed, you then have that opportunity to any net income you make, again, really based upon your 2019 tax return, your net bottom line, they divide that by 12 to get a monthly average times 2.5. And we add that to the loan balance potentially. We add in employee benefits and a few other things, and here's the loan number. You apply and you get it. And it's something that has a really neat feature to it. Which you've heard a lot about probably in the radio and TV, too, is that there's a forgivable piece if you qualify here, you know, after the 8 weeks of when you fund it. So there's a lot of things, and I know I do a lot of talking here, Todd. I'm sorry.
No, that's good.
There's a lot of details to it. So, you know, we're kind of in that boat now where there's two things that are causing concern. One, this whole good faith certification. You know, if I applied back in April, did I need it? Did I not? I'll be honest with you, Todd. It scared a lot of people. A lot of my clients were calling saying, man, I'm going to jail. Maybe I didn't need it. You know, maybe it didn't impact me as much. Should I pay it back? And the government threw out there some rolling dates where if you paid the loan back by May 7th, May 14th, and now they had rolled it to May 18th, which was this past Monday, They said, well, if you paid it back, we're not going to question you. Don't worry about it. You're all good. And a lot of people got cold feet and ended up paying this money back. Even some of the larger, you know, public companies that had access to capital, they just said, you know what? It's not worth the negative publicity. I'm going to pay it back. So a lot of people did, which obviously went back into the pool, which then allowed some more monies for people who probably maybe needed it more. I don't know. That's a judgment call as far as who needed it. So then they were saying, for those who are applying now, you know, take heed and look at this good faith certification to say, all right, do you really need this? What is it going to be used for? Do you have access to capital? And all these different rules were kind of coming into play. And then, as luck would have it, I shouldn't say luck, but on May 14th, the SBA actually came out, the Small Business Administration came out and said, all right, for people who received $2 million or more under this program, there's a very good chance you're going to be audited. And we're going to look at your invoices, we're going to look at your certifications, and we're going to see if you, in fact, needed it and if it, in fact, qualified. Okay? Anybody under $2 million, they raised and threw out there that it will be considered automatic and that you'll be deemed that you did, in fact, achieve your good faith certification in needing this program. Not that you won't get audited, but they're saying by nature, if you're under that $2 million line, you're automatically, you know, precluded from, you know, having the good faith certification. So that was probably good news for a lot of people. But again, as you can imagine, Todd, there was people in those last 2 weeks before the 14th of May that paid their money back. That was well under the $2 million that maybe if had they known that, maybe wouldn't have paid it back.
Yeah.
So, you know, all this stuff is changing all the time. And the more confusing part is all these programs are kind of all interrelated. You know, there's an emergency injury disaster loan program. They call it EIDL. That's out there. You have to coordinate your benefits on the PPP with that. And when it first came out, there was this $10,000 grant that you could get automatically. Well, then they changed that to be $1,000 per employee, which meant a lot of self-employed people didn't have access to that money right away. So honestly, in this world, there's been so much confusion, Todd, that and there's so much details that are still being worked out, as you said today, that I just wanted to kind of give an update on where things are going. And I know there's a lot of information there, but that's kind of where the state of the union is right now on these programs.
Yeah, you know, and I've never been audited. Knock on wood, I'm hitting myself on the head right now. But that's not usually something that people want to invite. But if you needed that money, I suppose you take the audit with it and, boy, just keep close track of all your receipts and how that money was used.
Right, exactly. And audit scares, you know, a lot of people. It makes everybody anxious, even though they've done nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. The word audit really freaks you out, right? If you get a knock on the door from the IRS or a letter in the mail, it's not fun. Now, the audits I was referencing here would be conducted by the SBA,
okay,
not by the IRS. So it's kind of a different audit.
Sure.
But it's a similar feeling, right? No one wants their books to be looked at just in case, you know, my gosh, maybe I unknowingly did something I wasn't supposed to. Gosh, I'm sorry. And everybody feels like they're putting on the orange jumpsuit and going to jail. You know, I mean, it's just a really weird feeling, right? How all things go. But as we sit today now, we've had a lot of people who had, you know, accurately got the money, and now they're saying, what do I do next, okay? Mm-hmm. And the big thing now is to, just as you said, Todd, keep track of your expenses, keep track of this income in this 8-week period that starts the day you get this loan, okay? And this 8-week period is, if you are spending money on payroll to keep people, you know, working and on the payroll, spending money on rent or mortgage debt, meaning interest expense, utilities, all those things qualify, and there's a formula that you can go into, and up to 75% potentially can be from wages, and the other 25% of this loan to be forgiven comes from utilities, rent, mortgage interest, etc. Okay? And what we're recommending to our clients is keep a close eye on this. Make sure you are ready, because at the end of the 8-week period, the lender, the banker who financed this on behalf of the SBA, will be calling them saying, all right, now our next phase is let's figure out how much we can certify that can be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And that happens with your banker. Not with your attorney, not with your CPA, but with your banker. Can we as CPAs help you, you know, identify those things? Absolutely. You know, and the folks who have, you know, accounting softwares, have general ledger software, it should be a relatively easy thing to tell your software from this date to this date, list all the expenditures you've had, you know, for these respective categories, including payroll, and I said the rent, the lease, the utilities, etc. Okay? Relatively easy to do. We're not sure if they're going to ask for invoices besides, meaning the really into-the-weeds detail also, but prepare yourself for that, you know? So we're telling our clients, make sure you do that and make sure you keep track of this stuff, all right? We're also telling our clients, hey, if you want to maximize this program, make sure you're watching and paying attention, meaning you don't want to have some dollars slide off the table that maybe I could have paid that bill 3 days earlier, still a legitimate expense,
yeah.
And and if I pay it late versus early, it might have cost me $1,000, you know, that would be forgiven, okay? So we're really saying when you get to that probably week six, start doing your math, start doing your analysis, to make sure that if you want to maximize the forgiveness, again, everybody likes loans until you pay them back, right, Todd? So if
you're
you
right.
can have it, you're right. So if you have it forgiven, even better. Okay, so that's probably where a lot of people are in that phase right now, and they're trying to capture their expenses, capture their income, so they can prepare themselves to report to get this amount forgiven. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, fortunately, we'll never have to pay back the national debt, apparently, so we don't have to worry about that $22 trillion.
And isn't that something? I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to work on the economy in the long run. You know, I realize, you know, and I know we could probably spend the rest of the day, Todd, debating mm-hmm. economics, and I know this was relatively textbook to get money back in the economy,
mm-hmm.
but you're right. I don't know how this is going to get paid back, if ever. I don't know what the long-term ramifications are. But the fact is we got these programs, and of course, as a CPA, I want to make sure my
yep.
clients, you know, maximize these programs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, talking about the forgiveness piece, very early on, back to, again, changing the rules on us, okay, it was very clearly stated that the intent was any amounts forgiven under the PPP program would not be taxable income, okay? Because normally when you have debt forgiven, all right, it... You know, under IRS tax code, that is a taxable event, meaning I have to pay income tax on anything that is forgiven, okay? So they came out and said, hey, we know that if this is forgiven, this may cause you another problem, meaning I have to pay tax on these amounts. So they made it clear that it was not a taxable event. That's a really great answer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know where this is going, Todd, probably. Now then they all of a sudden came out to IRS and said, hey, wait a minute. Yes, under current tax code, you can make this income, this forgiveness, not taxable income. But any expenses you use to fund from this loan to pay for are no longer deductible.
Ah.
Okay, so that's a code that's buried in the IRS code as well. Of course, no one was putting all those pieces together till later and after everything was announced.
Right.
So now by having that announced, that, in a sense, made it taxable again, right? Because you can't deduct the expense. We're really at a wash, and it's all going to be taxable income. So then a lot of the legislators are like, whoa, that's not what we were expecting. That's not the intent. Don't worry, everybody. We'll take care of this some point. Just keep on getting it forgiven. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of you. As we sit today, that has not been fixed, if you will, as you know how long it takes to get a tax bill passed. Both federally and at our state level. We're not sure when that'll get passed. We're hopeful that there was no question that was the intent. Now they just got to get, obviously, the both sides of the aisle to agree that that was the intent and to make some kind of law, you know, to that effect, you know, for this one item. So that's another big chunk out there that freaked out my clients. Said, oh, my gosh, great program, but now I got all this tax to pay, you know, on this money. Is it still worth it?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, that goes back to the question, you know, we don't have 100% income tax yet. It might feel like it. So any amount you have that's forgiven and you pay some tax on it, you're still money ahead, right? It's on 100% tax. It's maybe a third goes back, but you're still ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, people get freaked out about taxes, right? Death and taxes freaks everybody out, you know? so So that was kind of where we're at. Where this every day it changes. It kind of the pendulum swings back and forth, and everybody kind of just is in this mode of, all right, we gotta wait till the dust settles. Which is, I think, why the Republicans at the federal level are saying we gotta let this all settle in. We got to see what impact it's making. I know the Democrats are trying to have another package, another stimulus package to come out. It's got a lot of features to it that are similar, some higher dollar amounts. So I think they're all trying to wait, and they're trying to see how this all is going to work, right? And I think that's the prudent thing to do. We just can't keep printing money, until the sun rises, and we just got to, be diligent.
Well, they're printing money until the sun rises 1,000 years from now. That's the scary part.
That's the freaky part. And in our state of Minnesota, obviously, legislatively, their normal session has ended. Mm. No tax bill to fix any of this.
Yep.
They've already came on record saying Minnesota's probably not going to follow along with any kind of CARES Act or COVID-related legislation, which we already knew from the last 2 years of how complicated Minnesota tax got, because before, Governor Dayton, vetoed a bill that would have made it more similar to federal. That got vetoed, and we went through a year of trying to do taxes basically twice because Minnesota did not follow federal. So you have all these complicated rulings coming out, and Minnesota's kind of following the same path again. Unfortunately, as we sit today, they haven't taken any approach. They're saying that any income that's forgiven under this PPP program will be Minnesota taxable income, even though it may not be federal. So, Todd, it's just the world is still not getting any less complicated.
No, it never will. Just more. Joel, how can people get a hold of you so you can help them navigate through all this?
The best way is to give us a shout at 320-235-5937, which is our office here in Wilmer. And we have many consultants, many compliance people on staff that have spent countless hours, which I truly appreciate as a partner, working through these programs, getting me up to date, getting me up to speed so I can and all of us can serve our clients. So we've been very appreciative of that.
Joel Gratz, CPA and partner at Christensen PLLP. Joel, be well.
You too, my friend. Take care.
You bet. Joel Gratz there at Christensen. I forgot JP's news at 9:05. That's on me entirely. So we'll check in with him here in just a minute.
The Beast of Metal.